I just feel you should greet somebody. Shake somebody's hand, you know, and bless the person. Tell this person something good. Say, God is good, no matter how you feel. God is good, no matter what is going on around you. God is good. Tell the person, all things are working together for your good. Say it, all things are working together for your good. Say it one more time, all things, they are working together for your good. Because you love God. Because you are called according to His purpose. You know, I thought about it today. And let me just start my message from here. You know, I was thinking about it today. Many things happen. You know, something led to it. I was thinking about a discussion I had with a friend of mine and something happening around him and all of that. And then I thought about those things. I said, and I began to say that, is it true that indeed everything works together for our good? Because when you see a lot of bad things happening, it is not very easy to just think that they are working together for somebody's good. And I realized that, listen, the Bible emphasizes the fact that it's to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. And what does it mean to love God? To those who are obeying the word of God, those who are obeying the will of God for their lives. What do I mean by that? As long as you are walking according, because we're talking about obeying the will of God, there are two sides to the will of God. There is a will of God that you know specifically that it is for you. And that actually is the will of God. It's a valid part of the will of God. What does it mean to love God? Love, as we know, is not an emotional feeling. What we call love, the emotional part of it is, it can be, often is, and should be, all right, a manifestation of love. But actually, it is not, you know, that is not what love is. It's not an emotional feeling. Love is a deeper substance than that. So, and when you are defining love, you define love according to a number, two parameters. Number one, the parties involved. That is, for example, is it love between God and man? Is it love between a mother and her children? Is it love between a man and his wife? All right? That's what I mean when I say the parties involved. Then the second parameter is, which direction are you considering it amongst the parties involved? For example, there is love between God and man, the love of God for man, mankind, all right, human beings. Then there is the love of mankind for God. So the two parties there are God and man. But then what is love? First, you look at which direction. If it's between God and man, then love there is manifested primarily in giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. For God loved the alien amongst you in that He gave him food, raiment, you understand, and shelter. That's what God gives. When God loves a cheerful giver, what it means that God not just likes the dance of a cheerful giver, He actually gives to a cheerful giver. That's what love is when it's coming from God. But when it's love from man to God, it's a different thing. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Love for God is not defined by giving. It is defined by obedience. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. That's the way it is, all right? So when the Bible says that for those who love God, what he's saying is that for those who are keeping his word, so if you are walking according to that love of God, please, you understand it now. If you are walking according to the love of God, not as if you go to church a lot, that's not the love of God. Say, I never miss giving offerings. That's not the love of God. Now listen, it can be a manifestation if you understand it as a matter of obedience. But if it's like you think it's a duty you perform so as to make God love you, that doesn't mean anything. All right? Many people come to God making demands because they think they have done something for Him. God says, this is the sign of the love that somebody will have for me. If a man loves me, Jesus said, he will keep my word. So if you are keeping the word of God, now listen to me, I'm back to what I was saying. If you are keeping the word of God, if you are walking according to that understanding, that is what is meant by walking in the will of God. I said the will of God has two sides to it. There is a specific will of God that you know by different parameters or different methods, which we are not discussing at this point. But you know this is the will of God. For example, I am convinced, I am persuaded that what I am doing All right? I've been preaching since yesterday. All right? So I went somewhere else to preach. I've been there again today, and I'm here now this evening preaching. I am persuaded it is the will of God for my life. That is specific to me. There are a number of people around on the earth that are like me, okay? But you may not be like that. Yours may be something different, okay? I believe that I married the woman that God said specifically, Banky, come, see this girl, go and marry her. I don't know whether you're getting my point. No, you're gone. When you reach that area, especially the guys, they say, don't stop, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I have my reason for thinking so, okay? And I have many, you know, there are many, let me use the word, witnesses. I am sure that God said, look, Banky, wake up, I'm awake. Now, you are going to meet one girl today. Her name is Ufoma. I don't care whether you like her or not, you are going to marry her. You know, go? I say, yes, sir. All right? Now, I didn't hear the words like that, okay? But I actually met her one day, and I told her later on that an angel tapped her also. I said, come, let me introduce you to somebody, and he's going to marry you. And whether you like it or not, you are going to marry him. I don't care whether you like him or you don't like him. It's besides the point. Now, she didn't hear it like that, but that was what happened. In the realm of the spirit, that was what happened. In fact, I'm looking back, and I'm just seeing the angels moving up and down. Now, those things are not recorded in the scriptures. That's what I'm trying to say. All right? You have your way of discovering it and working according to it. It's specific to each individual. But there is a general will of God. This is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. That is, what is the general will of God for everybody? The revealed word of God is that will that we must all obey. And if you are obeying that will of God, then you are walking in the love of God. Are you getting my point? And when you are walking like that, then, and only then actually everything is working together for your good. Your money got missing, it is working together for your good. You got new money, plenty more than you know what to do with, it is working together for your good. You parked your car somewhere, you turned around, he came, there's somebody parked there. You are checking under his car whether he parked on top of your car. That really happened to somebody I met once. He parked his car, went somewhere, came out. Not only was his car, no, not there. Another car was parked there. So he asked the driver of the car, where's the car that was here? Because the driver was sitting inside that other car. And that one said, no, there was no car here. He saw an empty space and he parked there. He said, before he knew what was happening, he bent down and checked under the to find out whether the fellow parked on top of his car. If that happens to you while walking in the love of God, it is working together for your good. Don't worry about it. It's working together for your good. That's a matter of fact. The other day I traveled. Somebody else was driving my truck. So I wasn't at the back. I passed a comment. We were joking in the car. And the fellow turned. And I said, look at this poster. I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to everybody else in the car. And he decided to look. As soon as he turned to look, the vehicle in front of us braked. And as if the thing was planned. It happened to be a tanker with that, all those things sticking out. If it was a normal car, that car would have suffered because mine is quite high. But this was a tanker. The thing just went, toop, toop, you know, pum. It was wrecked the car nicely. We had to abandon it at that spot. And we went ahead for the thing we went to do. And of course, he was so frantic. Everybody was expecting me to feel bad. They don't know the kind of human being you're dealing with. I just came, what happened? Okay, let's get the car out of here. Okay, let's go for a while. We came here. And the guy was feeling bad, just feeling bad. Oh boy, relax. It's my car, not yours. As far as I'm concerned, if I vex too much, let me tell you how it is. If the thing won't pay me, you know what I will do? I will order a new one from the Lord. I just say, Lord, you see, now that between you and the devil, you people have ruined my car. Because I don't know who, you know what I'm saying? It's the devil. I don't know whether it's the devil. And I know devil is normally very careful when it's my property. Are you getting my point? So if it's an angel that decided to do this thing, then maybe it's a matter of Isaac that has to be resurrected. Or you look and say, Lord, this is an old model. So what do we do? Now, that's a worst case scenario. Are you getting my point? But I didn't even think anything of it. Look, park the car to one side. I called my boss, well, one of my seniors there. Okay, chief, my car has a problem. Who can move it from here? We'll repair it. He called the fellow. The fellow came. We first locked the car up and left. Then later on, gave to the fellow. And he drove it away, fixed it up so we can get back to Enugu. You know, listen. doesn't razzle me one bit. You know why? All things work together for my good. You apply for a job, they deny, you know, it's happened before to me. Everybody loved me so much. They said, this job is yours. After I left, two angels, well, maybe they took somebody with them, maybe three of them. Or if the Lord went with them, there were three. But if the Lord did not go, there were two of them. All right? No, go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Only two angels wrecked the whole place. So, I was feeling very happy. So, my friends, in fact, I told my friends, and I work so and so and so place. This was after my NYC. And they actually went there to go and look for me. There's a new doctor here. Everybody looked like, who? Oh, no, no. Because I was so, they told me that the MD so liked you, everything. I said, the job is mine, only for me. The two angels went, they scattered the whole place. Next time I went, they said, they are thinking about, let's make a long story short. They say, okay, they can't employ a new doctor right now. As I drove away from the place, I looked up and said, Lord, well, you have your reasons, but you took that away from me. The devil could not have taken it away from me. And I'm so sure of it. All things worked together then for my good. And I'm not joking about it. One of the reasons why you and I are together this evening was because two angels went that day and said, this boy can't walk here yet. He just can't walk here yet. But for the next 8 months thereabout, I didn't walk anywhere. I was just listening to the word of God morning, afternoon, and night. I was listening to the word of God morning, afternoon, and night. And that was my final year in Bible school. You know, technically speaking, I did some undergraduate courses when I was in university in Bible school. Not literally, I get my point. Studying. But this one, the God said, look, read, do your project, do your intensive studies, and then get ready. And that's how it was. That was the foundation for what is now what I am doing in what you call Kingdom World Ministries. I'm persuaded concerning it. That's what I'm saying again. All things work together for my... It says, all things work together for my good. That's a matter of fact. It is working together for your good. When things don't work together for your good, is when you are deliberately working against the will of God. And even then, listen to this. Even then, when you come back in repentance, this is how God does things. God then, this is how he used to do with the people of Israel. When they will disobey him, he will send them into the hands of their enemies. The locusts will come, eat their crops and everything. And then when they will repent, then he will say to them, all the years that the locusts ate. Now, he sent it into their midst. Then because they have repented, he will now say to them, all those years that the locusts ate, I will restore double back to you. So even though you were not working according to the will of God and according to his purpose, therefore things worked badly for you. When you discover that and you repent, the way God behaves is funny, but he behaves as if that mistake was necessary for your promotion. That's how it is. He restores all those things that you lost. So at the end of the day, you still look back and say, all things indeed are working together for my good. And I want you to understand that all things are working together for your good. I have a revelation to share with us again today, which about this cross of Christ thing that we have been talking about. And remember when I began to speak about the cross of Christ, initially I said that my main aim was to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ that the Christian carries. Then, but the way the Holy Spirit led us, we ended up talking mostly about the cross of Jesus Christ, which he was hung upon. But both of them are the cross of Christ and, of course, different parts of it. So now I want to get back to that first one I said I was going to talk about. So don't forget that all things are working together for your good. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now I'm getting into our message, still part of all things are working together for your good. It's a tie with it, but let's just get into the message of the cross of Christ. Now, the text today is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 10, and we are going to read from verse 24 down to verse 39. And that segment in my Bible, the New American Standard Bible, is titled The Meaning of Discipleship. And I think it would be good for me to use that title for today's message. It's part of our series, The Cross of Christ. From verse 24, he said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple, that is, when he will have accomplished and graduated. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. Let me just quickly explain the meaning of the word slave here before we go on, so as to remove from our minds the modern day mentality of a slave. The word slave here is like a bond servant. And I just want to explain it briefly. I read somewhere, I can't remember who was explaining which of the commentaries now. Let's not think that these slaves don't exist anymore because slave trade has ended. This slave here still exists. And what I mean is this. For example, somebody goes to learn a trade, which we still do in Nigeria, you understand? So he goes to attach himself to a boss in the market, in a technical shop, whatever it is, and is going to work there for many years before he completes his training. During that period, he is what the Bible calls a slave. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's an agreement. It's going to be there for a long time. So don't only think about it as the matter of slave trade, ownership, somebody sold somebody to another person. Yes, that existed, but this one, you can see this slave is aspiring to be like his master. And that's what we're talking about here. So don't forget that. So this fellow is aspiring to becoming like his master. So he said it is enough for that slave to become like his master. Now, because of that, he now said to them, based on this principle, if they have called the head of the house Baal-zebul, how much more would they malign the members of his household? What he was saying simply is that I, your master, what they called me was not because of what I did wrong. I, your master, the names that they called me was not because I did evil. I have been called names before, personally, I speaking. I know sometimes you want to think that, what did I do? What am I not doing wrong? How am I misrepresenting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus says, stop thinking like that. I did everything right. They called me the Lord of lies, Baal-zebul, that is, the Lord of evil spirits. They called me that. So if you are called a bad name, it is not a sign that you are doing things wrongly. It is a lot of times a sign that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what he was saying. He said, for that reason, don't expect to be treated better than your master Jesus was treated. He said, therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. That is when I'm talking to you privately. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear. That is, while you are doing this work, while you are preaching my gospel, while you are bearing my name, do not fear them. He said in that verse 26. In verse 28, he also says it, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I can say that was referring to God himself, and it was referring to our heavenly Father. That is, that's the person you should fear. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Please bear this in mind. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? That is, they are very cheap. These are cheap birds you can easily buy. And yet, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. That is, your Father, your heavenly Father, must approve before they drop. In that same manner, he said in verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. That is, what will happen to you is not going to be by chance. What will happen to you is not going to be because you stood up and spoke against evil. What will happen to you will not be because you stood up and declared on the housetop what I told you in secret. Now listen to this. You know, we often say this, that Joseph, I've heard it preached before, when you have a dream, you should not tell the dream. Why? Because when Joseph told the dream, it got him into trouble. Some have said, tell the dream. Once you are told the dream, once you have the dream, pronounce it upon the housetops. I've heard a man preach that if you have a dream and you pronounce it outside, then you have lost it. Once you declare it, you will have lost it. And, you know, we say things like, Joseph, he was not wise. It was useful. That was why he told the dream. But Jesus was saying here, it's irrelevant. He's saying that Joseph could not have had his clothes torn except the father knew about it. That's what he was saying. So Joseph's clothes were torn not because he declared his dreams, but because the father saw it, he knew it was going to happen, and he said it was good for him that it happened. That's what he was saying here, that even though the sparrows, cheap as they are, they don't drop except the father knows about it. He said, you are much more precious, so the very hair on your head, they are numbered. Therefore, don't be afraid. If God sends you to Maiduguri now and says, go and preach, you know what he's saying? Don't be afraid. You will not die by accident. You will not die by suicide bombing. If peradventure, now please get me in context. If peradventure you died by suicide bombing, it is not because you went to Maiduguri. It's because the Heavenly Father said, kill him with the suicide bomb. He said, therefore, don't be afraid. If you are so sure that your life is in the hand of God, what are you afraid of? Because if he said, die that day, and he said, I'm not going to go to that place because of suicide bombing. He says simply, all right, kill him in his house in Enugu here. And he's still dead. That's why he said, don't be afraid. That's the emphasis. Do not be afraid. Now, please, bear that in mind. So he was saying this to his disciples. They should, because of these things, not be afraid to declare the truth. They should, because of these things, not be afraid to say on the housetop the things that he said to them in secret. Now, he said, for this reason, let's now go down to let's just read 31 again. So he says, so do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. What was he saying here? Confessing me before men is going to be a source of troubles. Are you getting my point? It's going to be a source of the removal of the hair on your head, which is what we're talking about. It's going to be a reason why the sparrow might fall. He said, but don't be afraid, even though it appears like confessing me before men is going to put you in trouble. He said, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think, now listen to this again, this is what Christianity is about. He said, do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You must understand this in context. He said, for I came to set, he was not quoting the scripture here, for I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Now, what was he trying to explain? When you begin to stand up as a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you begin to live life in as a, you know, one carrying his glory, one reflecting the words that he spoke, one walking according to the will of the Father, then this is one of the things you will find out. A man who was in agreement with his father before, suddenly there will be disagreement. A young lady who was in agreement with her mother, there will now be disagreement. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will now be the members of his own household. Don't forget, this is simply because he began to declare the truth concerning the word of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things about Christianity, why the power of God is limited, is because people think that they can balance it. Now, you see, people say things like, maybe you want to be a good Christian and not cause any offense. There's what Paul said, that can only be done as far as it depends on you. What does that mean? If it depends on disobeying the word of God, that's no longer depending on you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, follow peace with all men. As long as it depends on you. If it is that it is your money, there's no problem. They took your money. But when it comes to standing for truth and standing for righteousness, that is no longer dependent on you. And you must be careful in your work as a Christian that you do not shy away from following those two things we talked about at the beginning. One, the will of God that is specific for you. Of course, let me put that one at two. One, the general will of God. And two, the will of God that is specific for you. Those two things are very important. These are the things that set a man away from his father. These are the things that set a daughter away from her mother. And these are the things that will set a daughter-in-law away from her mother-in-law. I was telling the story somewhere where I went to preach. Was it today or yesterday now? I gave them the story of Novahis. This is very tragic, all right? It's bad. Novahis, I got to know him because he was a preacher, and I read his books, heard his messages. I think I watched his video or something. you know, but I got to know him because he was preaching the gospel. He was a successful businessman. Those days, he said, and that was huge money for that time. He said he was making $7,000 a week from his businesses. Now, if you think about $7,000 a week, that comes to about $350,000, a little more than that, all right? $364,000 precisely in a year. Now, this was many years ago. In today's terms, that would be almost $1 million, all right, a year. That was not bad money. That was good money. And later on, he even did better. He was a good businessman. But he kept on having this calling for ministry. And then the day came in which he decided to obey that call, and he told his wife that now he has decided he's going to go into ministry and begin to preach the gospel of God. And the wife went in, packed her bag, packed the bag, got up, and walked away. You must understand this. They did not quarrel before that. The woman just said to him simply, all right, I cannot be the wife of a preacher. That's why Jesus, that was what he meant when he said, you think I came to bring peace? You must get this in context. Obeying me sometimes, we mean, like for Nova Hayes, his wife just, and she never came back. The woman was that kind of person. That is, according to him, if you saw her, she looked like Elizabeth Taylor. She behaved like Elizabeth Taylor. You know, she carried herself with that kind of class. And it was quite demeaning. All right? You bring her down to that level of being called a pastor's wife. She was not willing to take it. She told him straight, listen, I'm not angry with you. You're a nice guy. You've been a very good husband. Okay, but I just cannot be a pastor's wife. Sorry. And that was it. That was what Jesus meant. That follow, you know, I told you about two things about the will of God. One is specific. One is general. I told you before, don't think, you know, Christianity does not make you a nice guy or a nice girl all the time. It's going to make you enemies. In fact, if people have not called you stupid, if they have not told you that you behave like your head is not correct, or if they told you directly that actually your head is not correct, then go and check. Wait, am I amongst good Christians or am I not being a good Christian? Because if you are among Christians alone, nobody will tell you that. All right? If you have refused to be a good Christian, nobody's going to tell you that. Now, please bear this in mind. The will of God has two sides. One of them is general. The other one is specific for you. Both of them in your own individual life are very important. The general one is a foundation. You cannot ask God concerning the specific one except the foundation of the general will of God is properly laid. And I'm explaining today that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is walking according to those things, all right? And when you are walking according to them, these kind of things come into your life once in a while. So let's continue reading. It says, so verse 36, one of the results is that a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. At such times, each one of us will have to make a decision. He's explaining that in verse 37. He said, at such times, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That is, he would rather do that which is pleasing to his father or do that which is pleasing to her mother is not worthy of me. Because when I begin to separate them because they are declaring my word, that's actually the foundation of it, declaring the word of God. What I tell you in secret, he said, declare it openly. When you begin to do that, your father may start getting angry. Let me just really say this before I go on. One of the ways by which you make life easy for yourself in your home as a young man, as a young woman. Now, when I say easy now, I don't mean that everything will just be okay. I mean, you will solve your problems early before they become serious problems. All right? Okay, let me give you an example. Let me be very practical. You are from, tell me two villages that don't marry each other. Okay, you are afraid to mention names. All right, okay, leave it, don't worry. There's one village in Anambra State, and there's one just across the border, but it's in Enugu State, and they don't like to marry each other. And your house is clear. Your cousin didn't even dare it. Your brothers have married, they couldn't dare it. Your sister, lie. All those things have happened. You are not married yet. In fact, you start hearing the gospel when you're still maybe you're 18, 19, as a man, as a woman. You're not about to marry. But start hearing the gospel. Or even later than that, but you're hearing the gospel and you're not ready to marry yet. Remember what Jesus said. What I tell you in secret, What I tell you in darkness, that's what he was saying, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Now, what a lot of people make as a mistake, which makes their life very hard, it is when they want to marry, they will now go and bring that young woman to come and visit their mothers at home. The mother will now say, where is she from? And he's from that Anambra village, and the girl is from that Enugu village. And he says simply, she's from that Enugu village. And the woman says, Tofiakwa, over my dead body. Now, yeah, I think you, let me just be like this. You started the battle late. You will still win it, amen? Say amen now.
Amen.
Don't you want to win it? Okay, say amen for somebody else.
Amen.
You will still win it?
Amen.
I know you have won your own, but help somebody else and say amen, all right? Now, you will still win it most certainly, but you started the battle very late. What did Jesus say? What you heard in secret, proclaim on the housetops. Come home and start telling them all these kind of opinions. It does not work in my life as a Christian. Are you planning to marry? No, I'm not planning anything. I just want people to know. And really, you're not planning anything. It's not as if you're lying. It may end up happening that, maybe it's your second cousin you even marry. It's not illegal. You get what I'm saying? But you're not planning it. But what you heard in secret, you're already declaring on the housetops. Listen, this is just practical and help. It makes the battle easier. There was, in fact, you quarrel with your father at that point. It's easier to quarrel at that point. You immunize him with the trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just a small token of the virus. Let it attack the whole family first. Let everybody get the fever. Or eventually they will cure the fever. And then when you now finally bring the wife later, the immunity is working. Look, this is Christianity. Don't just sit at home when they are saying that. Can you imagine? Your mother will come home one day. Where are you coming from, mommy? We just came from a family meeting. That's your cousin. He's been a very stubborn-headed young man. He wants to marry. Do you know where the girl is from? And he mentions that forbidden village. And you keep quiet and say, that your cousin? He's a very stupid boy. How can that kind of thing be against our culture? The gods fought 200 years ago, and during the armistice of the war, they said these two villages must never marry again. We cannot afford to offend the gods. You just keep quiet. Your battle is just getting, with every you say, your battle in future is getting more difficult. That is the point at which you start declaring what you heard in secret. What you heard in the Bible study very far away from the village. That is when you start declaring it on the housetops. Once she says that, he says, what? So you now say, mommy, what is wrong with it? What do you mean, what is wrong with it? Listen, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All these gods, two gods fighting, all the gods have gone to hellfire anyway. What are they going to do? What do you mean? Look, there's no point in fighting over this thing. This is what it means to be a Christian. You understand? All things have passed away. I don't have your time. Don't worry, don't have my time. I've told you the truth. It's easier to endure at that particular point in time simply because there is no hot battle concerning your case at that time. Now, listen to this. I think that's one thing Christians must get right. We should start our battles in the area of words. We often try to start them in the area of deeds. Let me give you an example. You get down, the program I went for to preach today, it was a long program. I took the second section of it. I got in towards the end of the first part of it, and I heard a man, they were asking questions from the fellow who taught first, and apparently he talked on things that had to do with law and had to do with politics, all right? And one of the things that people asked was whether Christians should get involved in politics. I dropped a bit of my answer during my own message later on, all right? But one of the things I'm trying to make out here is this. Why Christians often have problems in such places is that they want to take their stand, you understand, by actions when the time comes without having declared their stand by words before that time will come. It's always a problem. It is when they have stolen money and they want to share it, that's when you start telling them you're a Christian. It is when they have gone out And they have decided to arrange some harlots they went to gather from somewhere. Six men are coming for a meeting. They brought six of them. Then when they now tell one girl to follow you, you now tell them that I'm a Christian. They should have known before then that you're a Christian. For those who don't know, those are the kind of things they do. They should have known. It's not when they want to share money, they don't know yet. In fact, by the time they should have said that, how many of us did? You know that guy is a pastor. Don't arrange his own court. They should have known. They should have known. How would they know? Run your mouth. That's all. When you enter the place, hey, how's everybody? Praise God. God is good. Amen. This country, God is going to punish every offender. Nobody ask you anything. They will call a meeting. What's happening? We are going to meet tomorrow morning. Tomorrow is Sunday now. Guys, are they go to church? But my pastor is bringing one fiery evangelist to town. We are going to pray in tongues until the earth will shake. They'll be looking at you like, are you okay? Are you sure you're a real politician? Say, forget that side. Just watch. That is the thing. That is, you start declaring, explaining to them, this is wrong. Why is it wrong? Because the word of God, you've already started declaring. The things you heard in darkness. Darkness means they did not come there. You heard it in secret. They did not follow you to Bible study. They did not follow you to church. When you get there, you come and tell them, you know, the word of God says. The word of God says. That is why people are disturbing you. You get to your office. Your boss is chasing you. It's because you have not been chasing him. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Now you're supposed to chase them first. You chase him with the word of God. You know what I'm saying? My boss is always telling me to follow him somewhere. Hey, he will tell you. You should have been to first. Say, good morning, sir. This weekend was very beautiful. Please read this tract. We'll discuss it during lunch, if you don't mind. And the tract is, who is going to hell? And the man reads it. Next day, good afternoon, sir. Can we discuss that tract now? I think I'm busy. All right, when should I come back? All right, okay, since you are still busy, let me give you another one. The redemption that is in Christ. And one day you corner him. Sir, please, sir, you know this is getting really urgent. Let's just talk about it and I'll leave you. Okay, you sit down. You know, those people that said they saw people in hellfire, that men went to heaven because men don't wear Brazilian hair and jewelry. It's a lie. This is the reason why God sends people to hell. You open to the Bible, Revelations. And the fearful, the unbelieving, the adulterers. Oh God, did you see that? The adulterers. They shall have their portion in the lake that burneth. And you're not trying to harass him, you're just trying to preach the gospel. Good afternoon, sir. We are doing a program, it's a men's program. Very good for family people. Will you be available? What you know in secret, you've declared openly. But what people want to do is, so when the man touches your bum by mistake, good sky, will you start? I'm a Christian. It is now you are becoming a Christian. It's obvious you just not want to do. Nobody say you'll be Christian. Let us say you'll be Christian. You suppose don't know before now. So I've harassed, you should be the one harassing everybody. People want to start with action. No, you start with what? Words. You start with words. It doesn't mean life will be easy. It means your battle starts early. It will separate you from friends, though. It will. It will. It will. It will. Listen, maybe you had a group of friends before you now gave your life to Christ. Harass them with words. Don't just start with actions. When they start talking, start listening your words with praise God. Follow me to church. Who is going to hell? I mean, the things you heard in secret, you declare them openly. I need to drop that principle. This is how the life of Christians are. You start with words. If when it comes to divine healing also, you don't just start with, if I was listening to Gary Carpenter, one of those messages I mentioned, and he said that once they prayed for him, and the power of God was so strong, they laid hands on him, he fell down, they had a heart problem, and then when they woke up, he said, my God, I've been thoroughly healed. He took his medicine and threw it away, and he almost died 2 days later. So went to the pastor and said, I don't understand what's going on here. You prayed for me. The power of God hit me so strong, it knocked me off my feet. And I know that it entered. What's going on? So the man said to him simply, I will tell you what they said, then I'll not bring out my lesson from it. The man said to him simply, listen, your actions in the realm of the physical do not decide what goes on in the realm of the spirit. That is, the things that go on in the realm of the spirit that should decide. No, there's a way the man explained it. But what this was the summary of it. And this was this, and that's the lesson I want to bring from it. The man said to him, don't start with physical actions. Start with spiritual actions. So what are the spiritual actions? Wake up every morning and start declaring it. The power of God was ministered to me. I have received it. I have been healed by it. It has worked with me. It has healed my heart. He said, meanwhile, go and take your medicine. The man told the story because he said he got healed over a 2-year period. What does it mean? He said that medicine was taken before, which was keeping his heart in check. One day, the Holy Spirit just spoke to him. He said, why don't you start dropping one dose? So he would take 2. The next dose, he would skip it. He was still dropping 1 dose out of 3. Then after a while, he said, let me just skip 2 doses. After 2 years, he forgot to take the medicine entirely. And many years later, he was still telling the story. He was perfectly well. Why I remember it is that his pastor explained to him, start with what? Words. I think Christians should start with it. Start with words. You are believing God for prosperity, for open doors. Start with words. You wake up in the morning, I'm a productive person. Doors open for me. I am above alone. I am not beneath. Don't go to church and pledge 1 million naira that you don't have. Oh, guys, I've done it. So I so believe God very strongly. And if you're a money-raising pastor, anyway, I don't want to beg you for trouble. Don't go and just start there and just say, okay, I'm believing God. Please, how much is this car? 5.2 million. Amen. It's the realm of prosperity. All right, put me down for one. All right, maybe you now have 100K. Let me just drop the deposit 100K. I'll come and pick it up by next week. Of course, it's a non-refundable deposit. There goes your seed. You shouldn't do that. You should go there. You like the car. You believe you are prosperous to that level. Talk to the car. Talk to it and walk away. I like the talk matter. Nobody's going to hold you. Why were you talking to that car? What is it? That's good. At this car, you and your brothers and sisters, you're mine. I use people like you to do the will of God. You're going to come to my house. Amen. You also walk away nicely. You understand what I'm saying? You're talking to yourself. You're talking to your soul. You're talking. And those words actually go out and cause things to manifest. By the time you start taking actions, the actions will just be obvious that you should take them. You start with words, not with actions. I believe we have understood that. So back to the matter of a discipleship. So the first thing that marks you as different, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is how you talk. Is what you say. Things you speak out of conviction. It is not when they want to share money and share women, they suddenly discover you are a Christian. No. Before that, you have told them enough. Those words actually, there's one thing about words. They capture you. You literally will be ensnared by the words of your mouth. If you have declared before people, I don't do this, it's against the will of God, I am a Christian. 2 things. One, they may not even offer you. Some who want to offer you those things, the words will make sure. The words will make it impossible for you to accept. That's the advantage. Those words have power. You declare them ahead, they come back and they work for you. In fact, I've explained this one before. I have a strong suspicion, I can't be dogmatic about it, that when the Bible said the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we know that the angels of God, they walk around on our behalf. They've been sent forth to minister on behalf of those who inherit salvation. This is my own thought about it. We have to issue them the sword with which they will fight on our behalf. We are like the ones keeping the armory that our angels will use. It's not you start discussing with your angels. Some Christians say you do that. I've never understood that. You just issue forth words. Just issue forth words. And those words are the swords with which the angels will take and fight on your behalf. I think Christians must understand that. That's where it begins from. It begins with what? Words. The words that we speak. Now again, on the matter of discipleship. So that's how you start making your enemies with your words. Not just with your actions. You understand what I mean by enemies now? Start disagreeing at home. Ah, I can't seem to leave this matter. Next time you go home, disagree. What did I say?
Disagree.
Disagree. When they say, don't talk to those your cousins, they are wicked. You say, the word of God says, do good to those who are wicked to you. If I see that man on the road, I would never give him a lift. And they are talking about your uncle. Tell your father, why not? Those who have never lifted a finger to help us in this family, our helps come from the Lord. Your father said, what's wrong with you? No, as a Christian, we must understand this. These are the reasons why God won't send people help. When we are bearing unforgiveness in our hearts, go home and disagree. One of my friends said that his father died early, you know, and as in Africa, if anybody dies, somebody is responsible. All right? That's as far as we are concerned. So once he went home, I went to go and visit his uncle's family. And the mother told him, no, don't go there. I said, why not? They are the ones that killed your father. The guy laughed. They don't worry about it. Okay, don't eat anything they give you. He said, he went there. Sat down. Ah, how are you? I'm very fine, auntie. I'm very fine, uncle. Would you like to eat? Why not? It is the will of God. Yeah, they brought food. He ate it. Drank everything. Greeted them and went back home. And his mother looked like, you are very, very crazy. Yes, I'm a Christian. This is Christianity. I am a Christian. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I am a Christian. He said he was in his gist in school. He said he went there, ate the food, drank the water, rubbed his stomach, thanked everybody, and left. They said, you will kill my father. I don't know. I don't care. One thing I'm sure of is you can't kill me. That's number one. Number two is that even if he did, I've forgiven you. I'm a Christian. So that's what I'm telling you. Next time you go home, do what? What did I say? Disagree. Start making good enemies. This is things you hear in secret. That's what it means to be a disciple. You can't be a disciple and you get home, everybody else don't yet understand what you know as a disciple, and you will not have problems with them. You will have problems with them. Tell them I'm not around. See? You are around. No. As a Christian in our church, you know, there's one thing I like, you know, when I was 7 that time, you know, one day somebody came and met me that they want to terminate a pregnancy. I'm a doctor, so. And that, I shouldn't mind your dad, doctor, the way he behaves, they don't want him to know their secret. So I looked at the guy, he didn't know me yet. I was still relatively new in that place that time during his service. I said, I don't do such things. He said, why not? I said, because I'm a Christian, if I do it, I will die and go to hell. You know, that's a very nice way to put it. If it's that saying, you know, it's not good. Who said it's not good? I don't care whether it's good or bad. I am just a Christian. And if I do it, I will die and go to hell. That's it. It's, oh God, it's used to solve all my problems. You will never get a second offer. Once you attach hellfire to the thing, I like hellfire, you know. Just take small hellfire. Used to embellish the thing. Everybody leaves me alone. Now that's it. Everybody totally leaves me alone after that. That's what I mean by disagree. Don't just start with actions. Start with what? Words. Let it get to a time you are almost obnoxious. As if people almost don't know mind the way he talks. But just make sure it is because you are speaking what? The truth. It is because you are declaring what you heard in secret. Declare that one openly. And what we are talking about secret are the things that we studied from the word of God. Those who are not disciples, they did not follow you to Bible study. They did not follow you to church. They did not follow you when you were listening. They didn't join you when you were listening to a tape. When you were reading a book, they did not read the same books. Those are the things that were uttered in secret. That's discipleship. That's what I mean by when you get there, disagree. Disagree. When I was talking about that politics matter, I said, look, Christians join politics. Just don't do it the way other people do it. There is nothing ungodly about obtaining a form for nomination. Is it ungodly? You go to your village, you feel impressed off by the spirit to contest to be a counselor. You go and collect the form. Then go and print poster. Posters are very cheap if it's just black and white. This color does not improve your chances of winning. I hope you know that. Color doesn't improve your chance of winning. What they just need is to know your name and your party. Even your face, how many people know you before? Doesn't matter much, just your name and your party. Then go, gorong, 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 gorong. It's not just a few words in the local government. Don't go at night. If you are not, if you don't know, if you are afraid of being attacked at night, do your campaign between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Just go around making noise, making noise. If you win, it's the will of God. If you lose, it's the will of God. Whichever one you do, is the will of God. But if you don't contest, if you don't take the form, you don't campaign, it is not the will of God, you are disobeying the will of God. That is when your troubles will really start. That's what I want Christians to understand. That's what it means to be a disciple. You go there, you disagree with everybody. We are going to gather money, so let's go and bribe the local, maybe judges around there who may be involved, the magistrates around. Say, lie, lie. They will rule against you. Let them. And you know, one of the things I'm teaching Christians these days is you make a lot of good, godly noise. Say, listen. You know, remember that our new terrible psalm? Psalm 45. When they say, pray in the village square, carry the megaphone. In the name of Jesus, arise, O Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered. Guide your sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride on victoriously in the defense of truth and righteousness and meekness, and let your right hand do terrible things. Let your arrow be in the heart of those who will support unrighteousness and dishonesty and wickedness in the name of Jesus. I hereby declare this village dance open. They say you should just pray about village dance. You don't cost everybody finish. And when they are talking, say, don't worry, we'll pray about it. One of the things I've learned is this prayer is a tool. You know what I said? Yeah, it's like you get hammer. Sometimes when you want to do something, you take prayer also. When they say that, those guys, they decide to gather. I hear they are going to Abuja. They are going to give bribes. Okay, say, tell them, do you have their phone number? Call them that we are going to church. We are going to pray. Now we are going to pray about them. If it is true what they are saying, they get to Abuja in one piece, then God is having mercy. We are going to church. Guys, don't mention names, so guide your sword upon thy thigh. In fact, oh God, I think Christians should form cult, serious cult. So what's happening? The cult people in church are meeting. The only good thing about our cult is that it's open. Believe in Jesus Christ, you're a member. Our meeting is not at night unless we are busy during the day. It's just a prayer meeting. That's our cult meeting. Our incantations are the scriptures. We won't mention your name. We won't put your picture there and be casting it with oil and mantle. That one is witchcraft. We just declare the word of God. If you survive it, you are righteous. If you are wicked, oh, God, the Lord is good. I worked in the hospital many years ago. When I arrived, my first month at work, I think that was the first person I certified dead, I think, in my life, yes. When you start work, one of the jobs of a doctor is to decide somebody is dead. You know, many people may look asleep. Some are actually dead. It's your job as a doctor to decide this fellow is dead. I think one of the first few people in my life I certified dead, I remember that woman very well. I didn't know, I just started working when, once she came to clinic, my friend saw her. They said that she was ill. A few days later, she came back to clinic. That one, I was now there. I was with my big chief. As soon as she walked into the clinic, my big chief just looked at her and said, madam, I have to admit you. He didn't even let her say anything, just looking at her. Hey, we'll talk on the wards. Take her to the wards. So she went to the wards. She became ill. She had a liver problem, acute liver matter. She came, it became worse, and then finally one afternoon, she died. Now, what is the gist about it? They told me that that was the last of a set of about 4 or 5 people that died in the hospital in 1 year. And what was the issue? The chief medical director of the hospital was a Christian and a difficult man, a stubborn human being. If a child of God is stubborn, go and report him to his father. Don't fight him. They decided they were going to fight. And those people, they had their own clique of prayer people. They didn't pray against anybody. They just decided to be doing their thing and worshiping God. And all those who ganged up against them from the beginning of that year began to drop dead one after the other. I certified the last one dead. That's when I just started walking. I heard the story later. One of the other nurses that was telling me the GC, this was what happened though before I came. I said, are you serious? This is our CMD. Terrible human being. Now, so you're off everybody like that. So one day I was in the CMD's office, we were talking. Well, it was as a young Christian, I think. Though he was an old man, but as a Christian, he was relatively young. So he was, he was telling me that because of those things that happened, that one day one man came and met him and said, Oga, they say you are the one that used prayer to kill the chief matron. Because the chief matron, one of the chief matron too died. He said, you are the one that used prayer to kill the chief matron. The man said, is it not only wicked people that prayer kills? He did not deny it. He did not accept it. He just said, if my prayer killed you, you were wicked. He said, that was all he told the man. He said, He said, in that case, it implies she was a wicked woman. That's all the man said. But I just sat down there listening to the gist. You know, I understand spiritual things. They were not lying. This was one of them that were ganging up against. There's this group that were praying in the hospital. You cannot pray. You people say, you know those kind of things. People say you are Christians. Now the people just begin praying. They continue prayer. And so they take prayer off all their opponents. After that, every man behave. Every man behave. I'm telling you. You see, Christians, you know the problem with us Christians is we serve our own wickedness, serve no greed. We lie with money. Or, you know, pastors and money. Hi, God. May you have mercy upon us. If we just stop loving money. If we just stop loving money, we will see the power of God. The problem with the love of money is that it doesn't let you tell the truth. And if you don't tell the truth, you don't see the power of God. Listen, in case you want to be a politician, or whatever you are doing, and they say people will gang up, and they go to shrine, and they form cult, be happy. I always like those ones that involve spiritual things. Because I know where I get power. Are you getting my point? That's the one I like. That one, I like it. That is a real operation, fire for fire. I won't mention your name. I'll just lift up my hands and worship God. As I'm saying, God is good. He has done me well. Oh, my soul, rise up and praise the Lord. As I'm saying that, devils are saying, these people are wicked. We are going to kill them all. Your enemies, don't worry about them anymore. I didn't mention names. I just worship the Lord. And the angels go and scatter the camp of enemies. Listen, this is my message for Christian politicians. You have your own shrine, amen? Your shrine is your bedroom. Your incantation is the word of God. Don't mention anybody's name. Just worship. Declare the word of God over your life. The Lord is good. Let's get back to our message. How did we get there? Many of you are planning to take form. Maybe you are the ones. Don't worry. No, 2014 is coming. Things are getting hot. That's it, 14. 2015, I mean, this is 2014. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope you got my point there. We are good people, though. We are not bad people. We don't mention names. We don't shoot arrows. We just worship God. That is our own shrine. Let me get back to what I was saying. Remember, it's words. That's where our discipleship begins to manifest. So this is what the Lord was saying. He said, when you begin to declare those words, the things you heard in secret, the things that I spoke in whispers in your ears, that is the ears of your spirit, you proclaim them on the housetops, you are going to find separation. And in verse 37, he says, that is the time you have to start making, that's Matthew 10, now verse 37. That is the time you have to start making your choice concerning who you will follow. He said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now listen to this. The opposite of loving father and mother or daughter or whoever it is more than me is what he's about to say. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Let's quickly explain these two verses. What does it mean to take the cross of Jesus? That's what we're talking about. I built up to this, explained these things line by line. This is what it means. As you are making your declarations, as you are following the word of God as a disciple of Jesus Christ, what you notice, like I said, is separation in intimate relationships. If somebody who you never liked before doesn't like the fact that you're a Christian, it does not drive you to making any dangerous choice. You know that. There's this auntie that has never spoken to your father or your mother. What thing concern you? If they say you are talking the word of God, it doesn't matter. It is when it separates you from your intimate relationships, like your father, like your mother, and relationships that are that intimate, that is when discipleship begins to exert its cost. Are you getting my point? Now, he says, that is when you make your choice. If you decide to please your father, you are not worthy of me. Because pleasing your father means you turn your back upon those things that I told you to declare openly. Then you are not worthy of me, see? And listen, these things, when people are pleasing their father, he has, you know, some of us, you know, it's not a big deal. You say, ah, what is it? What did my father go do for me before? You are richer than your father, so it's not a problem. In fact, your father had better please you, otherwise nothing for him. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, so that's their own angle. But you have to look at it from the angle that the Lord Jesus was talking about. Pleasing your father means, that is, displeasing your father me here, talks about separating you from your inheritance. You must understand that. Separating you from the contacts you need for progress. Pleasing your father is not just a natural father, I believe, because of the spirit of what he's talking about. It could be your mentor, somebody who has trained you in business, who will open doors for you. You begin to say things are not supposed to be done like this as believers, and then you start separating the two of you. Discipleship has its cost, and that is the point you start paying the price. It can shut a business opportunity down for you. It can shut down a career opportunity. It can shut things down for you that you thought would have helped you make progress in life. And that's the temptation of life. Jesus was saying here, that is when you will decide whether you are worthy of me or you are not. If you decide for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is called taking up your cross and following him. That's what it means. Taking up your cross is not, let me pray 5 hours. Hindus can pray 11 years. You know, Christians pray 5 hours and they feel so spiritual. All this Hinduism that we practice and Buddhism, forget it. You are talking about meditation and going to the jungle to pray. I don't, you know the truth is that some of those things, I don't care. Somebody said, I went to the jungle to pray. That's your problem. I went to my sitting room and prayed. You understand? Jungle is where you had quietness. Unfortunately, I had a sitting room to pray. Are you going to remember? The God of the jungle is the God of the palo with rug in it. It's the same thing. Don't feel spiritual because you went to pray in the bush. All right? Why am I talking about that? Hindus will go to the bush naked. And that doesn't give them anything as far as God is concerned. Faith is what gives you everything. We'll keep on talking about it. So I fasted for 5 days. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Many people will not agree what I want to say, but I don't care. I have to bear my cross and follow him. Amen? If after the first day you are hungry, eat something. You can continue the fast after you have eaten something. Pastor Banky, are you serious? I am very serious. I like Daniel. Daniel said, 3 weeks, you think he didn't know it was going to be 3 weeks. That's what I told you. All this is your fast that you just declare. I don't believe he declared 4-day fast. I don't believe in it one bit. These are my idiosyncrasies in which you are free to disagree with me. We'll still meet in heaven. There are things you must not disagree with me on, otherwise you're in trouble. Some things are written in the law of God clearly. Don't disagree with me because it's not me now. It's the word of God. But things like this, you can't disagree. It's okay. This is what I believe. Just to emphasize it. As a Christian, your fasting is just nothing more than a period to concentrate on the word of God and prayer. Your hunger is totally not part of it. Food, however, can constitute itself into a distraction. Are you getting my point? So you cannot be hungry and watching a World Cup and you say you are fasting. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If you want to fast, you can't watch World Cup. If you have to watch World Cup, eat plantain chips while you are watching the World Cup, because it's the same thing. What are they doing the World Cup? Be eating buns and drink. You know, Christians are funny. They will sit down there and be watching. They watch all the matches in World Cup and say, I was fasting the whole of last month. The guy was watching all the matches. How can you be deceiving myself, yourself and me like that? You can't watch World Cup and say you are not eating. That means you are fasting. That is Hinduism. Even the Hindus won't even watch the match. They will probably tie their legs together to support their team and hang it upside down and wrap their body in yellow card and red card. Listen to me. As a Christian, if you want to fast, fast. Are you getting my point? The food is, abstinence from food is less important than abstinence from matches. People say they are fasting. They won't miss any Arsenal match. And you say you are fasting. You are lying. You are not fasting. It's a lie. What did I call it? Lie. Stop deceiving me. You say, Pastor Mark, I believe you must be hungry. No problem. I agree with you. You must be hungry. I don't have to be, but you say you must be hungry. But one thing you must add to it, you must not watch matches. You can't tell me you are fasting, you're hungry, and Iniedo is parading half naked in front of you morning till evening. You are watching home video. Christians do it. They are fasting. They are sitting down there crossing like television morning till night. They are fasting. You're not fasting. You're watching TV. If you are fasting, I don't see the time you have to watch part one, part two, part three of a story my son can tell in 30 minutes. You are not fasting. You are lying. A man who has eaten, all right, in fact, not only eating, he's chewing popcorn while meditating on the word of God. He's going to go farther than you. So, how did I get into that? You know, I get into these things once in a while. I don't even know. God is having mercy on me. Don't worry about it. How did I get there? Anyway. Okay, I'm talking about the cost of discipleship. I remember. So Christians think that they are carrying their cross because they went to fast. That is not, you're not carrying any cross that you went to fast at all. Hindus fast all the time. Hindus can fast. I told you that when we began speaking about Christ, the final truth. I explained the story of a Hindu I saw who had not sat down in about 10 years. And he was going to remain like that for 12 years. He had never sat or laid down. Christians say that when you fast, you put the body under. The Hindu has a body under the earth, if it's like that. The other one had his arm raised up. And he was going to raise that hand for 12 years. He won't drop it. By the time they showed us the hand, it had withered. The one that said he won't sit or lie down for 12 years. How do you sleep? He rests on a suspended pillow like this. That is how he sleeps. The first few months, his feet became so swollen, the blisters ruptured. The wounds remained. They can't even heal because he would not lie down. And by the time I was watching this, he had done it for like 10 years. He had 2 years to go, thereabout. I beg, forget that one. You're talking about cross. Somebody said, I don't want to go to hell. They've gone to carry all their earring and put it in the house. They wash their faces. Anytime I see them, I laugh. If you don't want to wear jewelry, one of my friends, his wife doesn't use makeup. And here are now of the same school of thought. So I don't just like it. It's not a big deal. It's not a cross that you suddenly come out all your earring, you throw it because you watch a video in which some women were telling lies. I thank God that I have been built up to a level and I'm still building up higher. But I've reached a level where I'm not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. One girl comes and she slept. She woke up. She went to heaven. She did not see men. She didn't see women. She saw only men. Where are the women? They went to hellfire. Why did they go to hellfire? Because they had Brazilian hair. In fact, for you to even think that is true, I need to conduct deliverance from hellfire for you. Because some thoughts shouldn't cross your mind. You know, once I heard it, I said, it's a joke. My God does not send people to hell because they want Brazilian hair. How can you even say that kind of thing? Then the Brazilians themselves, they just be born in hellfire. Oh, God. They said they use attachment. Oh, you know, ignorance is not bad, you know. Honestly, no one at God shook his head and said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So somebody went and met Ogemote, saying the whole of redeemed, only two people are going to heaven. So Ogemote told him, no problem. Since I am one, who's the second person? There's no fight. He said there are only two people. I'm not sure of the GO. No, I don't know him. I mean, it's between him and his God. You get my point? I'm not saying he's a bad man. I don't know. You say only two people. I am sure, me, I am one. So you, the prophet, and the whole of the church remaining, choose the other person that's following me. Because don't even try to scare me that I'm not going. He told the guy straight to say, I'm one. So all of you, including you, prophet, go and be struggling for the second position. Oh, Father God. So listen to me. That is not a sign that you are carrying your cross. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is not. I don't wear fine clothes again. It's not a sign you are carrying your cross. What is a cross? It's when you have to make decisions in loyalty. Yeah, that's the word. To the word of God. That will hurt your most intimate relationships. And you see, go ahead and make that decision. That is when you are carrying your cross. That is a carrying of cross. As you can see it here. Jesus said, in that context, some people, because they want to be safe, they want to ensure that they make it in business. Listen to this. They want to ensure they don't get into trouble and annoy somebody. A friend of mine called me yesterday. We were speaking. He mentioned another of our friends. He said, he belongs to one of these. In fact, let me just mention it. I mean, you know, the Church of England, the Anglican Communion. All right? Church of England. So get his license in UK to preach. He had to sign a document making it clear he will not preach anything that says homosexuality is wrong. Otherwise, they won't license you to preach. He doesn't have much of a problem because he can say that I won't sign. There's a reason why I'm talking about. Let me not give too many details because he's a professional, you understand? So, but there are those that they were trained all their lives as clergymen. They think they need that license. And somebody says, you cannot preach this, preach that, preach this, preach this. And the Holy Spirit says, if you don't preach this, preach this, preach that, preach this, you will not be preaching the whole counsel of God. Now, you are supposed to be a vicar in a big church where offering is good, apartment is nice, you get my point? The car is new, scholarship for 3 children, and after that, apart from that, you don't have any other thing. You ain't got jack. You need that license like any other thing. This is the source of income, shelter for the family. So the people will look, take the pen. I'm talking about the cost of discipleship and they sign an agreement so that they will still have a place to talk, a talk that will not be pleasing to God. What Jesus said is that they have chosen to save their life. And he said, that is the person that will lose it. Discipleship. You know, I never knew that in my lifetime, persecution will start like this. That is the beginning of persecution. In countries like Europe, in places like Europe. The story I told you, that happened in UK. That is persecution. In the US, that spirit is pushing in, trying to get in. Because of the amount of light they still have, they are still managing to keep it in check so that the persecution is not overt yet, even though it is starting. This man made a statement last time. What is his name? No, he didn't make the statement recently. He made a statement long ago. Donnie McClurkin. There was one major event that happened recently or about to happen, I'm not sure now, in the U.S. But I think a Black History event. And he was supposed to give a speech. And they removed his name for one simple reason. They denied him the opportunity. Because many years ago, he made a statement that God delivered me from the curse of homosexuality. He did not say homosexuals are bad people. He didn't say you will go to hell. He just said that God delivered him from what he considered a curse. And that was it. His name was removed for something he said years ago. A man was appointed the CEO of Mozilla. If you use Firefox, they are the ones that produce it, all right? Thunderbird, the email client, Thunderbird, Firefox browser. They have a Firefox OS now for some mobile phones. You have Firefox on your mobile phone as a browser also. But it's produced by the Mozilla company. They appointed this man, Eric Schmidt, as the CEO. And then some jokers decided to raise a petition against him. Said there's this dating website, and they said that nobody should use Firefox anymore. Why? Because about 8 years ago, he gave $1,000 to support Proposition 8 in California, trying to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. 8 years after, they appointed him CEO of an organization, and riots, in quotes now, began. You know what they're trying to do? It's not him. It is people afterwards. So what is now happening is that a lot of Christians are now backing down. They say, no, I don't want to get controversial. That is, you ask them statements, they will not make any statement. Pastors are pulling back because they have to be popular. They have to sell their books. They have to get recognition. And Jesus said, if you deny me, denying Jesus is about denying truth. If you deny that which you know to be truth, what you are doing is that you are putting down your cross because you want your life to be safe and listen to the word of God. Everything you as a Christian compromise to get, you eventually lose. It's not my word, it's the word of God. So whosoever will find his life is the one that will lose it. He said, but the one that will be willing to lose his life for my sake, for the sake of truth, that is the one that actually will eventually find it. Temporarily, it may look like he's the one that's losing it. But at the end of the day, you will find out that he is the one that will win it. You are in love with a woman. You believe that she's everything that you ever found in the book. Should I say yes? She loves God, loves the word, loves truth, worships the Lord. She's thoroughly washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have seen all of these things. Then you now remember that your father will rather die than you marry somebody from her village. Better buy your father a casket, because that is the only option you have. Otherwise, you are the one that will do the dying. As a banker, that is the most wicked thing you have ever said. Jesus said, I did not come to unite you to your father. I came to separate you from him. If truth is going to separate the two of you, so be it. I'm talking discipleship here. That's what we're talking about, discipleship. That is what it means to carry your cross. That's what it means. To hurt the people that you love the most, not because you are a wicked human being, just taking pleasure in the pain of other people, but because that is what obedience to Jesus Christ automatically does to them. It is sad, but it's too bad. That's the cross of Christianity. That is the cross of Christianity. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I've come to make everybody happy. You are making a mistake. I've come to separate intimate relationships, in which a man, a woman will have to decide Who do I love more? Is it my village people or my heavenly village? I have to decide. Who do I love more? I want to prosper or I want to obey truth? Who do I love more? I want to be settled in my future and be very rich. But listen to this, is the word of God. Let me say one more time. Everything you compromise to get as a Christian, Jesus said you will eventually lose it. So it is safer for you endure the pain now because you will be saved eternally. I've looked at my time and I think I've spoken enough for one day. Let's bow down our heads and just say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, for telling me the truth, thank you. Just make a commitment again. Say, Lord, I choose to be a disciple. I choose to carry my cross. I choose to carry my cross. Oh.